to me, it's kind of a must win because it's at home. It's our first conference game. It's a good conference team and a good coach. The coach has been there for a long time. And it's the last game before Thanksgiving. So let's win the game. Let's go into a small break. And then we got, you know, a gauntlet ahead of us. We have three conference road games right after Thanksgiving: Howard, PG, and Baltimore City. And those are all winnable games, but they're all big, tough games that you could lose. You know what I mean? So it can go either way. So I think getting the Southern Maryland game at home is going to be huge, because then we go on the road. Let's say we steal one or two on the road. That's huge, because then we come back against, I think, Chesapeake, and then we go from there. But, you know, you always want to win your home games.
That's Coach Demetrius Jalen Joy, head coach of the men's basketball team here, talking about must-win basketball before Thanksgiving. And I have to say, I do believe him. I believe him, and I buy in. We'll talk about that and a lot more here on The Water Cooler. Men's basketball here at Hartford, they had a weekend down south, North Carolina, Wilmington. North Carolina was a site of their games this weekend. Also traveled to Monroe. Girls basketball on the road right now. They're playing currently as we speak. They probably just tipped off, actually. We'll talk about them this past week. USA Soccer World Cup getting ready to begin. MLB award season is upon us. So is the off season. Cy Young Awards handed out last night. MVP awards to be handed out tonight. We'll talk about that. A lot of NFL stuff going on as well as you enter week 11 tonight with Thursday Night Football. The Tennessee Titans in Green Bay to take on the Packers will get us going here for week 11. We'll talk about week 10 and a lot more, but let's get it going here. We'll start with some men's basketball. Hartford men's basketball, that is. They spent the weekend, like I said, down in North Carolina. They played the host school, Cape Fear. They won that game 74-71. Kenny Moore on the score sheet, 20 points, 4 steals. Maceo Carson doing what he does, 12 points, 4 threes made in that one. 8 guys on the score sheet for Hartford in that game. And then a big note of that one is they shot 70.6%. That is 12 for 17 from the free throw line. And in a 3-point game that just might have won them that game. Honestly, talking with Coach Jalen Joy, he said free throws were a big part of that win, big part of that team this weekend, both for good and for bad. Their next game was at, of course, it was a neutral site with Brunswick. The Brunswick Dolphins, they lost that by 10, 95-85 in overtime. Josiah LaMoth, or JoJo, as he goes by, 17 points, 6 steals, big two-way player in that game. Maceo Carson, again, 2 for 5 from 3. Significantly less shots, but still put up 17 in that game. As a team, they shot 45.8% from 3. That's a huge, huge number for this team. A team that Coach Jalen Joy, or Coach Meech, as he's called around here, that's probably what I'll call him from now on. This is not a shooting-first team. It never was to start. And you lose Chandler Johnson for the year, we know that, who is probably your best shooter. Ty Williams, maybe for the year. We've heard some conversations about possibly a January return, post-New Year's return. I'm not entirely sure if we're going to get that or not. He may also be done for the year. I have to talk some more with coaches on that one. But again, in game 2, they lose by 10. And as opposed to their 70.6% from the free throw line in game 1, they go 42.9% from the free throw line in game 2, just 6 for 14, which was a big factor in that game. They couldn't make the free throws. The free throws, as they say, the free throws are free. You have to make them. So they go 1-1 there and really played well all weekend, though. It's not the full story. They played well all weekend, played 2 very tough games. And like Coach Meech said, some stuff that doesn't show up on the score sheet. You saw a lot of fight, a lot of grit from this team. And then they come home from that trip, and then they go on the road again to play Monroe, which did not go as they wanted it to. They lost 81-46, but there's a little bit more to this story here. Their first half was bad. They're down 30 at the half, 49-19. Is your halftime score. But then at the half, they figured it. I don't know what they did exactly. You know, Coach Meech was even surprised when I said this, but the second half, They did lose the second half, but it was only 32-27. So, in my opinion, a tale of two halves here. Harford played right with Monroe, a big regional rival for them that they will see come, or the big district rival, I'm sorry, district rival they will see come playoff time. But Coach Meach was saying, he said this coming up game against Southern Maryland, which is Monday night doubleheader, women's at 5, men's at 7. It's kind of a must win before Thanksgiving, just because that's the conference that Harford plays in, and more importantly, that's the kind of region Harford plays in. These games turn into must wins really early. They're 2-3 now, and a team that I think should be a playoff team. They host the playoff tournament this year here at HCC. I think they'll be in it, but you have to win the important games, and those are coming up. They have Baltimore City. It's playoff implications coming up. I believe Meach said that in the soundbite, but They like I said, going back a little bit, they had a great weekend. Monroe was not great, but the day I interviewed Meach was yesterday, and they got right back in the gym. He said, "We're not going to sit on this. We're not going to dwell on this. We'll get in our own heads. Think we can't shoot, can't do this, can't do that, because Monroe just beat us by almost 40. He said, "We're not doing that. We're a better team than that. We're getting right back in the gym, getting this out of our system." And to exactly quote him, he said, "See the ball go in the hoop again." And I think that's great for this team. They have a big week, or a big game coming up here before the Thanksgiving break on Monday. And then, like he said in the soundbite, it's a gauntlet coming up. A lot of important games, a lot of conference games, region game with Baltimore City, like I said, that matters for this team. So it's a big week coming up for Harford. It might just be one game, but it's a big game going into that Thanksgiving break. And the women's team, now they lost their game at Monroe, 97-47. Taylor Christian, though, 25 points for the Owls. Corinne Santiago, 4 steals. They had a lot of girls, or not a lot, but a few girls making, at least two making season debuts this past game. And they're kind of just looking forward towards Middlesex. I unfortunately didn't get to talk with Coach Medina, but they have hired a new assistant coach. Jen Hahn is on the staff now with the women's team. Whether this is a audition or tryout, so to speak, to take over as the head coach, I don't know. We'll have to see. I have to talk with them, ask them that question, see what they say. But I'm kind of getting that vibe to start. I think this might be an audition to take over this Harford women's team. So we'll see what happens there. But they are playing right now. I'll try to get a... Well, I probably won't get live stats right now because I just can't reach them right now. But they are playing right now, and I will see what that score is later. But that's kind of what I have here on Harford. We have World Cup soccer on the schedule tonight. We have NFL football on the schedule tonight. We have MLB baseball back on the schedule tonight. So let's transition here and let's talk some World Cup soccer. All right, so the World Cup about to get underway here in Qatar. The USA opens their World Cup against Wales on Monday at 2 p.m. I think that's a game that they should win. I believe in this U.S. team, maybe more than most people do. I think they're more talented than people think. I think they are very young. That's the thing. It's a very, very young squad, a very inexperienced squad on the world stage. There's kids younger than me on this team. There's 19-year-olds on this USA team. And I think that obviously matters. There's guys that are 23, 24. Those are your, air quotes, senior vets on this team. Incredibly young team, youngest team at the World Cup. But I think this is a dangerous team at the World Cup. I think Wales you should beat on Monday. Then you have England on, I forget what day that is. But they have England the following game. I'm not going to try to look. I don't know when that game is. It's days later. But they are in Group B, consists of themselves, England, Iran, and Wales. Wales they should beat. England's going to be tough. But England, see, this is my thing with England. Their history is the lights are too bright on the world stage. They're always supposed to be the greatest team. They're supposed to win this whole thing. And the world stage pressure always gets to them. They always fizzle out. They always underperform. They are just not great at the World Cup historically. I think that might continue here. But Iran, then, is a game you have to win. I think you have to win against Iran. I see a lot of people think the U.S. shouldn't, like, if the U.S. get through this group, that's like a World Cup victory for them, considering we didn't make the last World Cup and that whole abomination that was the U.S. team then. But I think this team should get through. I think they can win a knockout game. I mean, you don't want to see anybody out of Group A. It's either Netherlands or... I guess Netherlands is the team you want to see. I think any of those teams that'll get out of that group should, in theory, beat us. But you have Qatar. There's a host country. They're automatically in there. I don't think they're any good. I hope I'm correct about that. You have Ecuador and Senegal in that group. I see Netherlands and Senegal getting through. I don't think the U.S. wants to see either one of those teams. But I would rather see the Netherlands out of those two. I'd rather see them in the knockout stage. But the first things first, you have to get there. And I think it's going to come down to the game against Iran. I think the USA will beat Wales. The game against England, I think you can tie England. I don't know. But if that's the thing I was talking about with someone else, too, is that if England beats Iran, but they beat them close, like they beat them by one and Iran is winning in shots, England's going to be flustered. And if the U.S. beat Wales, get rolling, get in a rhythm, I guess there's no such thing as a trap game on the World Cup stage. It's kind of an NFL thing. But that's a game England could drop to the U.S. I would not be shocked if the U.S. beat England, if what I said happens, if England plays Iran close and wins, and U.S. beats Wales, say, 2-0, and they dominate possession. I think the U.S. will be riding high. All systems go, pedal to the floor. I think they could win that game. But you won at least a point from England. I think they can get one, tie, and that should put them through. But you got to beat Wales on Monday. That's huge. To be up, get 3 points, and get rolling. You can't lose to Iran. You cannot lose to Iran. And England's going to be the game to watch. That's going to be probably one of the most watched sporting events ever in the U.S. I think that game's going to be incredible to watch. I'm going around in circles here, but I think the U.S. can beat England. I really think they can. This is supposed to be one of the best England teams we've ever seen, but it's one of those things. I've seen this movie before with England. I think they choke it. I think the U.S. could really shock them. But as far as the rest of the World Cup goes, outside of Group B, I think your dark horse team is probably Canada. Canada played better than the U.S. in World Cup qualifying. I'm trying to find their group here. Canada is sitting in... They are in... What group are they in? Oh, no. I don't know what group England's in. Or England, if Canada's in. Let's see. Canada's in Group F. They're in with Belgium, Croatia, Morocco, and themselves. I think Canada gets out. I think Canada might get out of that group. I don't know who joins them out of that group. But yeah, I think Canada can escape Group F. I don't think they do much after that, but I think Canada's a dark horse for this World Cup. They're very overlooked. They're not really usually in the conversation much often, but I think that's a dangerous team. I think that's a dangerous team. I think that's a dark horse team. And as far as your best group, your group of death, as they call it. I don't really see a crazy group of death this World Cup. If I'm going to pick one, it's probably Group E. Costa Rica, Germany, Japan, and Spain. That one's tough. I think it's Germany and, I guess, Spain. Germany and Spain get out of that group. But very, very good group there. But yeah, U.S. starts on Monday, 2 p.m. They play Wales. I'm super excited, and I think it's going to be a better team than people think. I think it'll be a better team than people think. I think they get out of the group stage, maybe even win a knockout game, maybe surprise the Netherlands, or surprise whoever else they might play in that group, maybe Senegal. I think they surprise one of those two. If they win a knockout game, that is a big, big victory, I think, for the U.S. at the World Cup. And the next one, you'll have this team aged a little bit. They'll be seasoned, experienced, and you get to host. It's in your backyard in the U.S., U.S., Mexico, Canada, I guess, but it's close to home. And the next World Cup, the U.S. are going to be forces to be reckoned with. But this World Cup, as for right now, I see them getting out of this group with England. I think they win a knockout stage game. But NFL news coming up here, or actually, let's do baseball first. We'll go through baseball awards. Cy Young's handed out last night. Finalists for the MVP are out, of course. Those are handed out tonight. I'll tell you who I think wins, and some O's news for you. So let's get to that right here. All right, so here we are. We are back. This is now the MLB segment of our show. Justin Verlander, Sandy Alcantara are your Cy Young Award winners. They are unanimous award winners here for the Cy Young. Justin Verlander, Houston Astro in the American League. Sandy Alcantara, Miami Marlin of the National League. Both guys that should have won it, won it. Both of them got all the first place votes, 30 voters, 30 first place votes for both of them. It was pretty chalk, I guess, if you want to put it that way. All guys deserving, but those two were supposed to win it. The MVP predictions now. American League finalists are Yordan Alvarez of the Astros, Aaron Judge of the Yankees, and Shohei Ohtani of the Angels. The American League, I think Aaron Judge is going to win it. He broke the AL home run record with 62. Roger Maris, previously set long ago, almost had the Triple Crown in the American League. Had, of course, his record-setting 62 home runs, 131 RBIs, and he hit 311 on the year. He's going to win it, I think. He was a huge impact player. I think Shohei Ohtani should win this thing, though. He had 34 homers, 95 RBIs as a hitter, and as a pitcher, he went 15-9 with a 233 earned run average and 219 Ks. He's basically two star players in one, a pitcher and a hitter. I think he's the most valuable player in the league, if that's how we do this award, by who's the most valuable to their team. That's never how it's given out, but Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable player to any team in this league, in my opinion. And as for the National League, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, and Manny Machado are your finalists. I think Paul Goldschmidt takes it. He chased the Triple Crown in the National League himself for a while, finished hitting 317 with 35 homers, 115 RBIs. Manny Machado was probably your runner-up. He hit 298 with 32 homers, 102 RBIs. Paul Goldschmidt has come up just short a lot of times in his career. I hope he gets it. He deserves it. He's been a finalist for MVP before. He's been a runner-up before, multiple occasions. I think it's Paul Goldschmidt's time to finally bring home that MVP award for himself. I think he does that as a St. Louis Cardinal. As for the offseason getting heated up, though, Teoscar Hernandez of the Blue Jays traded to the Mariners. That affects the Orioles, of course, because they're in division. The Jays get relief pitcher Eric Swanson and pitching prospect Adam Mako back. I think that's a good move for the Blue Jays, considering offense was never the problem. The pitching is what stopped them this postseason. And to see Teoscar Hernandez off the Blue Jays out of the division, I love it. If anybody knows this or understands this from the previous years, he's kind of, since he left the Blue Jays, he's kind of the new Randall Grichuk, the big Oriole killer for no reason at all. But Teoscar Hernandez, no longer a Blue Jay, happy about that. And then as for the Orioles, Adley Rutschman is the runner-up for American League Rookie of the Year. Julio Rodriguez of the Mariners wins it, deservingly so. Adley was never going to win that award. Julio got, not that Adley wasn't deserving, but Julio Rodriguez was just fantastic. It was a fantastic year from him. He kind of changed Mariner baseball there. But then again, when Adley got here for the Orioles, this team was totally different, totally did 180. So you can argue both sides, but I think Julio Rodriguez should have won that, and he did. Brandon Hyde, runner-up for Manager of the Year, Baltimore Orioles. I think he managed his team the best. I thought he might get that award. He did not. But what are you going to do? And then Anthony, again, another hot stove thing. Anthony Rizzo re-signs with the Yankees for 2 years. He declined his qualifying offer, got a few more $1 million for it, signs off for 2 years with the Yankees. There, that affects the Orioles, of course, in division. Orioles tied, though. They have been reported as making contact with basically every free agent pitcher out there. And that includes the American League Cy Young Award winner, Justin Verlander. He went 18-4, set a career high in earned run average at 1.75 on over 175 innings pitched. Likely, no. I think they lose this bidding war with other teams. I don't think they get Justin Verlander, but they've been linked as to talking to him. I think a much better fit in Baltimore is Chris Bassitt. A little bit cheaper price tag. He can slide in as your, you know, solid number three. Maybe number two at the beginning of the year until John Means comes back. I think a great 1-2-3 would be Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, Chris Bassitt. Chris Bassitt with the New York Mets went 15-9 with a 3.42 ERA and 181 and two-thirds innings pitched this year. Great target there. We're going, though, to the NFL here. Only got a half hour, so we got to keep it rolling. Let's run it here with some NFL talk here on the Water Cooler. All right, so NFL news here. We had in Buffalo, they are expecting, it was originally about 4 feet of snow that was expected to fall in Buffalo ahead of the Bills and Browns game this Sunday. It's now up to 6 feet of snow expected in Buffalo. That game is not being played in Buffalo anymore. They are moving that to Detroit. The Bills will stay in Detroit for 2 weeks. Or a prolonged stay, I guess, because they played the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving. So they'll play back-to-back games at Ford Field in Detroit. Philly's undefeated season ends at the hands of the Commanders. A friend of mine told me he was gonna that was going to happen ahead of the game. I scoffed at him, didn't believe him at all whatsoever. Totally brushed him off, and he completely called it. Philly's now 8-1. Taylor Heinicke's fearless. Commanders quarterback Taylor Heinicke is not afraid of anything. He did not care about Philly's 8-0 record. He was attacking them the way he knew he could, and they pulled it off in Philly under the lights on Monday Night Football. I did not think they had any chance of that happening. I believe I picked that as a game picks thing there, but I was wrong. Commanders end the Eagles season. Or an Eagles undefeated season, rather. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. The Colts win. The Colts, under their new crazy regime they have going on, they beat the Raiders. Matt Ryan played instead of Sam Ehlinger, which I thought was smart. I got to tell you, I'm rooting for Jeff Saturday. I am rooting for Jeff Saturday. I hope he does really well in the Colts organization. Everybody says he can't do this. He's never done this before. No coaching experience. What in the world are the Colts doing? I hope he does well. I really do. He's 1-0 now as an NFL coach. And then Cooper Kupp, he is going to the IR for the Rams. High ankle sprain is going to require surgery. Matt Stafford expected to clear concussion protocol by his coach Sean McVay. Is the Rams season over anyway? Kind of. I don't think they recover from this. The Rams are just, they can't protect the quarterback. No offensive line going there. I think the Rams are in trouble. I don't think this much matters. But let's get into the most anticipated part of the show here as I wrap up. My game picks. 3-2 last week on game picks. So we're in the green. We're positive. My first pick, I'm going to go with the Titans on Thursday Night Football versus the Packers. Packers, not particularly a good run defense. They're 21st ranked defense in the league. Titans have Derrick Henry, the number two rusher. I think the Titans just control the play, the pace of the game. They control the run game, control the clock. And I think this is going to be Titans in Green Bay. I'm not sold on the Packers being back yet after they win over the Cowboys. The Bills over the Browns in Detroit, neutral site game. Bills are just better. Josh Allen dealing with an elbow issue will welcome playing inside, not having to throw through the wind and the snow. I think Buffalo over the Browns in Detroit. Ravens over the Panthers. Ravens are better than the Panthers. Baker is starting this week. He knows what's going on in Baltimore. He knows what to expect. He played for the Browns. He's played in Baltimore. Ravens have blown leads in the second half on multiple occasions this year. I think the Ravens win this game, but I think it's a lot closer than you think it is. I really do. I think this is a good game. It goes down to the wire. And then Commanders over the Texans. Commanders are riding high. They just ended the last undefeated season in the league. Texans aren't any good. Commanders 12th ranked passing team on offense. Texans 30th ranked passing defense. I think Taylor Heinicke and the Commanders attack that all day and just pick them apart. And then Bengals at the Steelers is my last pick. Bengals just looked unbelievable a couple weeks ago. I think Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon headline a victory here that really solidifies the Bengals as being the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. I think those are my picks, and that's our show here. So that's the water cooler. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can hear me tomorrow in the morning and at night, fifth hour in the morning, night owls at night. Thank you guys so much. This is going to be the end of the Water Cooler Show. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Thursday Night Football, lock in your fantasy lineups. Let's go watch some football, everybody. Have a good night.